You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Blue Wire.
New England sending QB Jimmy Garoppolo to 49ers.
We believe we found the right guy.
Garoppolo, quick pass, caught by Kittle. He dies.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. This week's episode is sponsored by Indeed and Bet Online. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for the Blue Wire Network. And joining me tonight, same man as every other night for the last 100 times, Eric Crocker. What's up, bro?
We made it, man.
We're here, man. We're here.
Have we ever told anybody how we started this podcast? We actually got the question. All right, so I guess we can answer it now. Someone asked, how did we get on this podcast together?
It's a good question. Well, I want you to, I mean, you're the reason that it happened, so I think you should be the one that tells the story.
All right, so since we have this sexual tension or whatever.
That was a great question, bro.
I slid in Rob's DMs. And I said, hey, man, will you do this podcast with me? Basically, that was how it was. And I called him on the phone. Rob, like myself, I think I have a stupid sounding voice. Rob doesn't care as much for his voice, you know, live or whatever, you know, people listening to it. So that was his one thing where he's like, man, I kind of sound like Kermit the Frog. And I don't know if I want to do it. I was like, dude, my voice sounds stupid, too. So we'll just sound stupid together. And we'll put out some good 49er content and people will like it. And so far, man, it's been doing very well.
Well, and I remember too, like when you very first called me, you kind of said like, hey, well, I mean, you're going to need to host this. And
oh, yeah.
I had never hosted anything in my life. Like I said, I hated my voice. I'd never hosted anything in my life. I'd never done anything with a podcast other than jump on it with the old 49ers Hub boys. So I was like, what am I about to do? And, you know, we did our first episode while I was in Santa Clara for training camp. And it was like, it was just like, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea how it was going to go, but I knew that at least Crocker was with me. And I basically told him, I was like, I'm not going to do this unless you're doing it with me. That way, you know, if we fail, we'll fail together. And you know, 100
Yeah, because the way it was like originally pitched, it was like, I might do an episode. You can do an episode. We might do some together, right?
Right.
But
right, yep.
We've done everyone together, and not just everyone. You know, for the last year, we started off doing just one a week. Now we do multiple a week, and we still, you know, continue to do all of them together. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, because when we signed up to do these multiple podcasts a week stuff, I didn't think you were going to be down for it because it's like podcast overdrive. You know what I mean? So I didn't want to volunteer you for it. And then here you are. You were like totally down. And now we're just busting out 4 a week like it's nothing. But if you are listening to this podcast right now, I don't even know if I said it. But if you are listening to this podcast right now, we are broadcasting it live on Twitter through StreamYard. So if you hear some, like, if it just seems a little weird, that's because we're all, like, we've got people in the chat and we've got, you know, looking at ourselves, which is a new experience, at least for me. I mean, I guess I've done the video game streaming stuff, so it's not that new, but it's just new for the podcast. So, but yeah, this day, I mean, I figured today it was Striking Gold 100, Crocker and I's 100th episode together. It just felt like, you know, involving you guys doing a mailbag that was just random. And yeah, we got a lot of random questions. So it should be legit. So, I mean, let's just get to it, right? What else? Okay.
Breaking news?
Yeah. I mean, they got Tack McKinley, which is, I mean, that's significant. It's, you know, he hasn't done much this year. He's only played in 4 games. I don't even know what he hurt or what his injury was.
He's been, I think he's been more like disgruntled than anything.
Like just not wanting to.
He's been wanting out. He's been.
Has he been inactive? Like, have they made him inactive in games?
I haven't looked into it that far.
You know what I mean? I haven't either. But I know as far as an impact player, he's a pretty good pass rusher. He's a former first round pick. He's kind of like, when I was watching him, he's like a slower version of Dee Ford. You know, like he's not nearly as fast. He's not super, super powerful. Okay, Just Wait says he hurt his groin, so that would make sense. He's not super powerful. He's not super fast. He's kind of like somewhere in between. And, I mean, I think that he'll be – I mean, would you say that – I mean, obviously, Kerry Hyder's having a hell of a year. But would you say that he's now the best pass rusher on the team that's healthy?
Possibly. Now, again, it's not saying much considering, you know, the injuries the 49ers are dealing with right now. But – I could see him coming in and being possibly better. In theory, he is better than Hyder, right? I mean, you know, right. He was a top 20 draft pick. He was a junior college transfer, actually. Junior college. He's a native of the Bay Area. So with him going to the 49ers, he's actually coming back home.
Right.
Yeah. You know, in theory, yeah, he's the best pass rusher. But he actually has to get on the field and be more productive than what we've gotten out of Hyder so far.
Right, and keep his head, because obviously he was not happy at all with how things were at the Falcons. And he's in the last year of his contract. I think he becomes a free agent next year. So, you know, I don't know exactly how this is going to unfold as far as his future with the 49ers and what he sees as his own future there or what he's going to go after this. I know, though, it was no sweat off the 49ers' back. Tack McKinley's not due a lot of money. They should only have to kind of pay for what he's left for this season. And, you know, they get a pass rusher to help kind of seal up a weakness. It might allow Eric Armstead to move inside. I don't know how they're going to implement him yet. I don't even know how much he's going to play. I don't know how much he's going to be on the field. It's a little too early to just say. I mean, theoretically, yeah, it would allow Eric Armstead to move inside. But then you're messing with what Kinlaw's been doing. You're messing with what DJ Jones has been doing. And even Kevin Givens has been playing really well. You know, I don't know how much they're going to be willing to shake things up for Tack McKinley. But he said, can we talk about where the hell Eric Armstead went this year? I don't know that he's been gone. I mean, he's not putting up huge, like, sexy numbers, as they would say. But, I mean, he's still doing his job. Remember, most of the plays that get focused on, at least what I've seen when it comes to Armstead, is the bad ones. Like, he might not have sacks, but there's still a ton of good plays where no one's really all that eager to give him his credit.
Yeah, there was one play that showed kind of a poor effort. Where he kind of wasn't really sprinting out to get to the Kamara in the open field. So then he kind of got out there late. Then he missed the tackle. Then he kind of jogged over. Then like fell on him. It did look a little weird. But I'll say this: if you guys remember kind of what the Seattle Seahawks pass rush was, and how, you know, during their, you know, the Legion of Boom and the pass rush was cooking with Bennett and those guys and Averill. And it seemed like everybody that went to that team, for whatever reason, because of some of the guys that were around there and how they had this, they had like this culture of how they were going to rush the passer. And they were just getting after it every single play. It's a lot. I don't want to say it's easier when you have everybody getting after the quarterback and it just kind of makes you hungrier, it makes you more aggressive. Right now, it seems like Armstead is kind of the lone man out there. And
it's probably all his friends are gone.
Yeah, all his friends are gone. And it's probably a little harder to keep that motor on 1,000. Now, I'm not making excuses for him. Like, if that's the reason, that's not a good enough, you know, excuse to not be productive. But it seems like that's something that he's kind of going through, where he's dealing with not having Buckner next to him, not having Ford on the outside of him, not having Bosa. And it's like, damn, it's just all on me. And we've mentioned on the pod before, we don't think that he's quite that guy, right? We don't think he's, everything's on me and I'm just going to be the most productive guy. I think he's better suited being the second, third guy.
Right.
And he's really good in that role. Because we have agreed, Armstead would start on any team in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
You just probably don't want him to have to be, like, the guy. And I think right now he's having to be the guy, and it's taken away a little bit from kind of what he is in theory.
Right, yeah. He's the most established player on the defensive line. And so, you know, if an offensive line wants to focus on somebody, it's going to be him. So, but obviously right now, Eric Armstead's got his own problems. He's currently on the COVID-19 list. He's not playing. He just dragged in Javon Kinlaw with him. So both of those guys are, I mean, it's the bye week. They should both be cleared by the time the next game rolls around. But obviously in addition to what they've been doing on the field, they've also got their own COVID-19 problems. So hopefully they're both healthy. Hopefully he's okay. Remember, just being on that list means you either tested positive or you were a close contact. So we'll see until we find out more on that. But yeah, let's get into this mailbag because we got plenty of questions. They're good questions. We're just going to roll through this thing and we're going to start it off. And we will try maybe like in between questions, we'll get to the questions in the chat and stuff like that. We don't want to ignore you guys. But at the same time, you know, this is the mailbag episode. We put out our tweets and we have a duty to the questions. So, burn units coming up. Number one, he's been in here. He was in here to start. I don't know if he's still in here. Are you ready to change your striking gold intro when Jimmy G gets replaced next year? I'm not buying the, he's expected to be the starter next year. Kyle didn't say will be, I don't know. Crocker, should we read into that? What did you think of Kyle Shanahan saying?
It sounded a lot like coach speak, right? Like right. 100%. You know, it was, and I've seen other people kind of respond with it on Twitter, but it's like, what is he supposed to say? Is he supposed to be on there and say,
we are done with this guy
and he will not be back? He can't say that. But so I think he said all the right things. We expect him to be back. He never said he will be back. He just said, hey, I expect him to be back. I expect him to be the starter next year. We win more with him than we do without him. All of those things, you know, because what if Jimmy comes back this year from his injury, you know, week 16, 17, 49ers playing for, hypothetically speaking, for a playoff spot. And, you know, you have to go to him and you don't want him going in the game knowing like,
well, right, I'm not, why the hell am I?
I'm not going to be here.
I don't know this place anything. What the hell am I doing out here?
Yeah. So yeah, nah, man. And I'm not saying that he won't be here next year. Maybe he will. But I don't put a whole lot of stock into what Kyle was saying.
Right.
I think that's what we all would say in that same position.
Right. Especially when you take a look at that salary cap and you're like, damn, like I get it. He's a quarterback. He's pretty good, but we are paying this guy a lot of money. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on the 49ers. I think to kind of go that way, two part ways with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if they'll be able to commit to it though. It really just depends on where they're picking and kind of how they feel about their odds of getting somebody that's going to be able to step in. Cause you don't really want to volunteer for quarterback purgatory. You know, it's horrible. Even if it means saving yourself money, you know, they want to have an answer there. If Jimmy Garoppolo is considered a problem, they want to have an answer to it. So before they just up and leave. So, but yeah, we would definitely change the intro. that wouldn't make much sense. Do you think Tack McKinley's failed physical could be a result of him playing hardball with the Bengals, not wanting to play for them? I mean, that's an interesting theory. I don't know.
It's interesting, but I would say no. And the reason why is because it would be a one-year kind of deal, right?
It would be just the rest of the year. What is that?
It would be, yeah. So, you know, if you were bringing him in and it's just for the rest of the year, I think for him, it really doesn't matter what type of team he goes to or an organization. His biggest thing is just putting good film out there so when he hits free agency, he can make the most money as possible. So, yeah, I don't think it has to do with so much the Bengals unless he just was just set on, I don't want to go to any other team. I just want to go home. I'm from Oakland. I want to be back in that area. So, that you know, but I would assume that's not the case.
Well, and what another level where it makes sense for the 49ers is even if Tack McKinley signs like a one-year deal with somebody else, it'll all go into their compensatory pick formula. You know, so the 49ers are getting to claim a guy that's only going to be on their team for half a year. And, you know, I don't know how it all plays into the how it all comes out. But, you know, that's we've seen Bill Belichick do that a million times. He did it with who's the Rams? Trent
Green?
Is it Brent? The Raiders offensive lineman that used to be on the 49ers. That
was Trent Brown. Patriots.
Trent Brown. That's what I wanted to say, but I feel like I was missing it. That's what the Patriots did with him because he signed this huge tackle contract. They traded for him. I think they only had him for like a year, and then he went and signed this huge contract, and they got a nice comp pick for him. It won't be – obviously won't be the same with Tack McKinley, but, you know, that's just something else. So, last one from AA Ron here. Do you see 2021 possibly being similar to 2019, a talented team that was a few players away from being elite, pulling everything together for another run? To me, that solely depends on what happens at quarterback. I mean, obviously, everybody else has to get healthy. A guy like Nick Bosa, all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, there's some other pieces there though. They're losing so much. They're scheduled to lose Sherman. I don't think D Ford's going to still all be on the team. They traded away Quan Alexander. Buckner's not there anymore. See what happens with K'Wan Williams. Tart's going to be gone. There's a lot more factors of like instability playing into their roster now than there was in 2018. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like a lot more turnover. So, I mean, shoot, if they sign a hot rookie quarterback and he comes out of the gate, then I could see it being like that. But they're still going to have so many other little issues they've got to address all over.
Well, you have the core guys, at least especially on offense, right? They'll have a core group on offense that should lead to some success on that side of the ball, you know, whether it's Garoppolo at quarterback or some rookie. Like we said in the past, a rookie can step in and, you know, he's in the huddle and he's looking and there's George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Raheem Mostert. You know, you just have like a plethora of weapons. So offensively, I think regardless of how it goes, they should be fine. It's on the defensive side where they're taking hits from guys that have been key parts in this, even if their names aren't big. But, you know, like K'Wan Williams, we've been saying he's like one of the most underrated players in the league. And, you know, he's one of the top slots in the NFL. And, you know, not having him or even, you know, a Tart, if Tart doesn't come back. Now, I know, you know, we've said different things about Tart or whatever, but at the very least, I mean, when he's on the field, he's a very solid football player, right?
I've had
my issues with him not being able to take the ball away, but he's good on the field. Like, he does his job for the most part, except for taking the ball away. So, you know, you start missing guys like that, you know, it does hurt a little bit. And then you have other guys coming back from injury, whether it's Ronald Blair, if he comes back on a cheap contract, you have, you know, Nick Bosa is coming off of a torn ACL. You know, so, yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of uncertainty, but I think really more so on the defense side of the ball.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with that. The team will, no matter what happens, let's say they lose the vast majority of their free agents, I think the team is still talented enough to make the kind of run you're talking about. It's just very different than what we saw last year.
Probably won't say like, oh, yeah, they can make a Super Bowl run. But you say, you know, they're going to be they can be good. They can be like a playoff team.
Right. Yeah, 100%. All right. NDE The Rock. If no quarterback is drafted in the first round, would you rather see the 49ers grab the top cornerback or top edge rusher? What do you think, Croc?
I mean, I always lean towards edge rusher. And, I mean, obviously I want to go corner, like, you know, with my background. But when you have good pass rushers, it makes everything – easier. Now, I don't know what edge rusher is out there that's like really good. I think there's somebody on Michigan that's supposed to be really good, but I haven't really looked into the edge rushers like that. But in theory, if you were to say you have an even grade on the top corner and the top edge rusher, give me the edge rusher because they make the cornerbacks' lives easier. And I think at the very least, I can go into the season if you re-sign these guys, but Mosley and Verrett. So give me the top edge rusher. You see how big of an issue it's been for the 49ers this year.
Yep. No, I agree. Especially if you look at it like, okay, we're going to move on from Dee Ford and you can replace him with, a solid edge rusher that's on a rookie contract. Like, you know, let's go. You know, that's how you win games right there. Is you make moves like that. It's just a matter of the draft board kind of aligning. You know, they could always trade up for whoever they want too. So it's not like they're going to be within trade up range wherever they want to go.
Talk about. I mean, you would think that that's like kind of common sense that they can trade up for a guy, but every time I say anything about a player or a quarterback or whatever, it's like, there's no way he's there at 12. Just give it up. And it's like, you can trade up. Like, like you don't have to just stay at 12 because that's where it says you're picking. Like, you can move up. You just have to give up a few draft picks. Like, all right.
Well, and in the inverse too is a lot of people act like, and this is not like in contradictory to what you're saying, a lot of people act like trading up is like automatic. Like, oh, well, if we offer this, this, and this, and we choose this team and hit trade, it happens. Like, you know, there's a lot of work that
like
goes
that on. It happens like that on the draft network, the draft machine.
Right. That's not real life.
No, but 49ers tried to trade up for Reuben Foster. Remember, they ended up picking Foster at 31.
Yeah, way in the back.
They were calling teams in the teens trying to trade up. So you're right. It's not a guarantee that you are able to move up, especially if a team is just, you know, staying pat on like, oh, we just really like this guy. But that's just always a possibility.
Right. Yeah. No, it's
everybody has a price. Look at DeForest Buckner. Yep. He had a price too. So
It's not what's the best way to say it? It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's also not impossible. If you want to do it, all you got to do is offer somebody enough. And as long as they don't have somebody sitting there that they're like totally in love with, then they'll be like, hell yeah. So, you know, it's just how it all plays out. All right, Anthony Rios, do you guys want to come visit one of the largest, most advanced legal marijuana grows in Washington? Maybe you can report in the pod in the grow. Sure, man. Let's go. I mean, I don't smoke, but I'll go there because I like Washington and it's beautiful and it rains a lot and I love the rain. All right. Alfonso Valdez, congrats on 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more. Little beer mug. Cheers. Two questions. If the Niners haven't won a single game and Jimmy is clear to come back against the Cowboys, should they even play him the rest of the year?
He said, if the Niners have not won any games,
if they haven't won a game between now and the Cowboys, and Jimmy Garoppolo's cleared to play, should he play?
I think you have to. I think that's almost like this is it. Like for you, you know, like this is your shot. You know, like are we gonna keep you or you know? And if he comes off and he kind of just looks like what we've seen, where there are moments of like that looks good, but then it's like oh damn, like what is that? And you know, Kyle still can't do maybe some of the things he wants to do, all the dinking and dunking, and can't throw the ball downfield, then at least you know if he's your guy or not. So I would say yeah, because you have to know, is he going to – you have to find out if he's going to be the guy moving forward.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you let him play, and you don't want to – you know, there's so many guys on this team that are – there. I mean, everybody that's out there is still going to be playing their ass off. You don't want to give the impression that you're deliberately keeping a guy from playing – just so you're trying to lose for draft picks like that. As much on Twitter like to talk about that shit, it is not a thing. Like you can nobody. I mean, maybe it is a thing in like rare occasions.
No, but it is a thing in the NBA. I point to my TV because I have NBA draft on, but in the NFL, like these dudes aren't tanking.
No,
like this is the thing with tanking. Like people's jobs are on the line. So if you're a coach, You're not tanking because you can be out of there, right? Like right now, you look at Anthony Lynn for the San Diego Chargers or Los Angeles Chargers, excuse me. He's not trying to lose. Like, dude, I need to try to win as many games as possible or I might get my ass out of here. And we've seen that with the 49ers where, you know, with Tom Sula, won 5 games, nope, get your ass out of here. Chip Kelly next year, won 2 games, get your ass out of here. So you know, there's no guarantee that if you, you know, even with Kyle Shanahan, as good as we, you know, I think he's a great coach. But what if you know, Jay York doesn't like the way that it looks and the way that things are perceived. And he's just like, you know what? I don't like this shit. Kyle, you got to go. I doubt that'll happen. But, yeah, no team, nobody's trying to change. And I didn't even mention the players on the field. Like, the players. And what does that do to the culture of what you're trying to build? Like, 49ers is trying to turn over that leaf of not being, like, a trash organization. What they've kind of been for a majority of, you know, between 2000 and 2020. We've had a few good years here and there, but especially, you know, four good years in the last 10, but that's not good. You want to build a positive environment, culture. So I couldn't see them really just trying to tank. I think Jimmy would play.
Right, and that it reminds me of that scene from Moneyball where Billy Beane comes down into the dugout and rips off the roster and is like talking to the coach, and he's like, look, I want this guy on the bench, I want this guy on first base, and I want anybody but this guy first out of the pen. And the coach is like, well, I disagree, and more importantly, I'm going to put this roster together in a way that I can explain in job interviews next year. Because he was on the last year of his contract, and he was like, look, I'm going to make decisions that I feel like I'm going to be able to explain to other teams when they want to hire me. So these coaches can't just lose games because they, like Croc said, they get fired and then they can't explain what the hell they were doing when somebody else wants to give them a job, and you know, they're like, hey man, like I was told to lose, and I'm like, you can't say that. Right. Like that will not fly anywhere. So that's just the tanking thing. Is it's a cool concept. Like it's cool if the NFL were on Madden, like where it's a bunch, it's a computer simulation where there's not hearts and minds involved. But it doesn't work in the real life. Imagine like purposefully doing a shitty job at your work and like hoping something good came from it. But anyways, all right. Alfonso had one last question. You get one final meal in your life. What are you eating?
Probably waffles.
Dude, that is a great
chicken
choice,
and waffles.
Bro.
That's the best for me. So Roscoe's chicken and waffles. There we go.
There you go. I think mine would be a medium rare, hard seared steak with a baked potato with everything on it. Butter, cheese, sour cream, a little bit of bacon bits. And then maybe like just some really, really well cooked, like seasoned broccoli. You know, just
who asked that question?
Alfonso Valdez.
Is Alfonso like going on? Is he on death row or something? Like, why is he asking these like questions like this, man?
Aaron says Rob won this one. Hey, I got nothing against chicken and waffles, man. I love waffles too, but yeah, of course
I love waffles. No, I like fried chicken.
Yeah, and dude, like, if I couldn't pick waffles, it might be fried chicken, fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, and hella buttery corn on the cob.
See, I like the mac and cheese, the baked mac and cheese as well. So
yeah, that's it's got the crust on top.
Yeah, you know. Yep.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. All right. Brian Williams wants to know, since it's the 100th episode, what is the best Niner memory you have of all time? Crocker, lead us off.
The Terrell Owens catch against the Packers.
The catch two?
Yeah. That was probably, I mean, it was between that or the comeback against the Giants, like, or the Vernon Davis, that whole scenario, that whole last 3 minutes of the playoff game against the Saints. There are a few, but I think because the Terrell Owens catch was one of my first memories, I'd say I'd have to go with that one, because that was just like, I just remember him dropping balls and down on himself. Jerry Rice fumbled, but then it wasn't a fumble. And then Steve Young stumbling. And then, you know, 49ers were struggling to beat the Packers during that era. So, yeah, man, I mean, I just remember being like, oh, shit, he caught it, like, you know, and just kind of going crazy. So
he caught it.
But that Giants game, man, that Giants playoff game where Terrell Owens went crazy and 49ers were down big, but they came back, and then it ended with the whole field goal thing, and they muffed it or dropped it and threw the ball, and it was supposed to be pass interference, and then they were like, no, then they, then the game ended. It was like, what the hell just happened? Like, that was crazy,
right. I'm going to go with the pick of the stick. It was the last game at Candlestick. I was there. I was like 30 rows up, right even with the play on the visitor side of the field. Because that game was so back and forth, the 49ers were such a better team, but the Falcons hung in. They kept going back and forth, scoring back and forth, and no team could stop the other team. And so it was like bad timing. Like the Falcons were just going to be the last team to score. And everybody in that stadium, which was so energetic the whole game, was like, that place was silent, you know, as the Falcons are just driving down the field. And everybody's like, they're going to score and the 49ers are going to lose. And this is going to suck ass. Because that was also to just go to the playoffs too. And we're sitting there like, I'm standing, but I got my head down. And I'm like, man, this is going to suck. I'm with my little brother, my dad, and my best friend. And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, he throws that ball and it goes. And from my view, I didn't see it. Obviously, we've seen it a million times. We know what happened. But from my view, I saw him throw the ball, and then I just see Navarro Bowman just, boom, just take off. And obviously, he's not going to run that way unless he's got the ball. And you see the whole Niners sideline just – and that place just went nuts. Like, that was the loudest noise I've ever heard. Wow. I thought it was gonna collapse, like, dude, because old ass Candlestick, last game there.
Yeah.
I'm like you could feel everybody in the stadium, like, dude, it went nuts. And we didn't even want to leave. We left the game, we went out to the car and tailgated and barbecued and did everything all over again. It was a night game too, right? Yep we were there till like midnight, and we drove home that night like 3 hours. We didn't care. It was just, was nuts. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, back to, that's a great question, Brian. I appreciate it.
I think Rob won that one too, man. That was a great memory.
No, I mean, dude, you can't beat the catch too. Yeah. Can't be, I mean, that's, yeah, up there.
I was watching it from my couch though. You were actually watching the pick at the stick from the 30 yards.
I think we paid $300 a seat for that one.
Oh, wow.
And we bought them like right when the schedule was announced. I was like, this is the last game at Candlestick. We're all going. Nobody has a choice. And we all went, and it was just so much fun, man. Candlestick was such a piece of shit, but it was cool, man. It was like, yeah, but it's our piece of shit.
There's a lot of people like, Candlestick was better than Levi. And it's like, well, it's not a better stadium. You can't say that.
Right.
It was all weird and shaped weird, and like, you're over here, but then like you're in like the corner of like where the dugout is. It was all weird.
Right. Yeah, that was nuts. Dante, why doesn't Kyle just go with CJ Beathard as his quarterback while Jimmy's out? He clearly doesn't want Mullins out there, and Kyle drafted Beathard in the freaking third round. Just play the man. Both backup quarterbacks should be on the roster next year. Look, whoever's out there is the person that Kyle wants out there. Kyle's not going to just decide that it shouldn't be Beathard for some other reason. If Mullins is out there, that's the person he wants out there. Like, that's just the way
Beathard
it is.
Beathard had his shot.
Before Mullins
to
had
start
his
a
shot.
Game. No, I mean, this year.
Right.
Like, Beathard started the game and wasn't good. Or he came in. Did he start after the Dolphins game? Because he came in for Garoppolo after halftime, played an entire half. Did he get a start after that?
I don't remember. I'm struggling.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
No,
too.
But I mean, my point being, like, whoever is out there is the person that Kyle Shanahan wants out there.
Who he thinks is going to give him the best chance to win.
Right. He's stubborn, and he's not going to just throw somebody out there for some weird political reasons. And the whole, like, drafting him in the third round thing, that's, to me, way overplayed. Like, it was the very, very end of the third round. The 49ers had a high fourth round pick, and they gave up like a sixth round pick to just move up and so they can have him at the end of day two. Like, it wasn't like this. Like, people talk about that pick like they thought they were investing in the next franchise quarterback. And
right.
They may have thought he had that upside, but that's not where they picked
him. Which you could see, like, you know, if somebody told you just off of traits, you could see how somebody might think that he has – an upside, right, where he can be serviceable, or maybe he sees some Kirk Cousins in him, right, because his arm is big enough. He's definitely athletic enough, you know.
Right, and he's pretty fearless.
Yeah, he's fearless. He's tough. He can hang in there, and, you know, like, he just can't put it together consistently. So that's where,
right.
You know, the issues are. So, yeah, you know, you could see what he liked in him, but, he just didn't turn out to be that guy. But it wasn't like they invested a whole lot in him. he was a very, very late day two pick, like you said.
Right. And yeah, it was just, yeah. Anyways, I don't think there's any hidden motive there as far as the quarterback that Kyle wants to play slash gives him the best chance to win. Whoever's out there is the quarterback he wants to play.
All right.
Jed, at Jed Genone, man, I like you, I respect you, but don't you dare badmouth Taylor Swift and her music again. Taylor Swift sucks, man. That is the most, like, I'm sorry, I just immediately started.
Does she suck? I mean, Taylor and Swift. I don't know, like, I don't listen to her, but I know I liked the little video where she was holding up the note cards.
Yeah, she's talented. Like she's obviously a good singer, but I just feel like every single one of her songs is made to be the next radio hit. They're all like super poppy. The lyrics aren't in depth. Mm-hmm. They're not like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's radio music. We are just trying to sell records. Like, dude, I'm a Tool fan. And if you read some of those lyrics, like they are the most in depth, like some of the stuff I don't even understand type lyrics. So like whenever it's kind of like a curse. Whenever I hear a song, I'm always listening to the lyrics. And, you know, it's like when I hear a song where the lyrics are just so stupid, I'm like, man, I can't listen to this. Turn this off. Like, I can't do it. Like, so it's more my problem than anybody else's. It's not Taylor Swift's problem. She's doing just fine. also, my question, you said any question, right? Do you say pain au du chocolat or chocolatine? What the hell? Do you know what he's talking about? I don't know what chocolate. I don't drink. What's chocolatine? Is that like a drink? I'm gonna copy and paste this.
Somebody said Rob was Team Kanye.
Oh, like I'm gonna let you finish, dude. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah. Beyonce's way better than Taylor Swift. I mean, her music isn't that much better. We run this mother. Anyways, Is he drastic? Jimmy G back from injury after the Rams game in time for one final push for the playoffs this year. P.S. Can I get a follow? I mean, no, but no, I don't think that. I mean, that man, that made me seem like a punk. I'm not trying to be mean.
I'll follow him. You just got to have him.
Okay. Here.
Tag me.
Yeah. I'll send him to you. I'll send it to you. Good cop, bad cop. Jimmy G back from injury after the Rams game. So 1 week after the bye week. No, I don't think so. He just got out of the boot. I don't think he'll be back in time for that. Who's after the Rams? Is that the Cowboys?
No, I stopped looking at the schedule. No, they don't play Bills. Cowboys till week 15.
Is that the Bills after the Rams? Who's after the Rams? The 49ers are not going to rush Jimmy Garoppolo back out there again. yeah, it's the Bills after the Rams. It's the Bills. Yeah, then Bills, Washington, Dallas, Arizona, Seattle. I mean, I would be really surprised if he made it out of there that quick. But no, I don't think so. You know what? Hey, before we keep going, let's get a quick word in from our sponsors. We usually try and do it around like the 20 to 30 minute mark. We're at 36. So let's do this real quick. I'm gonna roll through this. Stick with us, guys. First, we've got Indeed. 2020 has already reshaped how we work. It's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed's here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with the more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to help your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offers valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football's back. It's in full swing with BetOnline. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at betonline.ag. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE. It's all one word. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Boom. Let's go. On camera. Advertisements. Let's roll. Okay. This one's for you, Crocker. Nina48 wants to know, are there any updates regarding Peter the Bunny? And they'd be very appreciated.
Peter's doing fine. He was actually, you know, Twitter just went to a story, you know, having little stories or fleeks or right. What do they call it?
Fleets, yeah, fleets, like fleets. A bunch of boats. Fleets.
Okay, so, you know, they got the fleets or whatever. He was my first and only post on there so far. So Peter's doing Shout fine. Peter. I'm still terrified of him. I still don't trust him. I still sleep with one eye open. But I guess he's fine. I still think he's kind of playing some type of game, though.
Yeah, I mean, you need to keep your eye on him, bro. Like, what he's hoping is that you become complacent and think he's not up to anything. And that's when he's got you. Yeah. You know, that's when you wake up and he's just sitting on your chest, just staring at you, and it's right. All over. It's over. Yeah. Young LA, how can the 49ers fix the interior line? A lot of people talk about Jimmy in the Super Bowl, but I feel like that was a problem and continues to be one. I don't know. Get good players. I mean,
yeah, I would go. I mean, so you have to. Though. So typically, guards. Unless you get like a Quentin Nelson or whatever, but typically, people don't invest high draft picks in guards, but usually in that like round 2 to 3 range, you can grab one. So, I mean, I would try to shoot for one in that area, maybe a second round pick. I know 49ers don't have a third round this year. Right. But 49ers also need cornerbacks. They also need, you know, possibly a quarterback. So what are you going to prioritize? And typically you're not going to prioritize guard, you know, over other needs, like if you need a quarterback or a cornerback or something like that. So I think you just keep swinging. I know they went for McKivitz. He was at 5th round. And maybe try to get another one in that kind of range. And then hopefully you just get one that plays well. Because I want to say it was – who was it that just made a whole lot of money at right guard? Was it Norwell? I think Norwell just made a ton of money. He was an undrafted guy. So, you know, guards, you can get one, especially that's serviceable. But it seems like – Kyle needs guys to, you know, eat a little bit more because they're just getting kind of thrown around. I mean,
right,
first McGlinchey right. And
well,
I saw McKivitz and I'm just like, gosh, that's
gosh, man. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, because Kyle Shanahan likes the athletic guards, but at the same time, that might mean that you're trying to go for somebody who's a little undersized and a little quicker. And then you might have the results of getting thrown around. So, you know, it's kind of a trade-off. Who knows, man? I mean, I'm not a big O-line guy. I can't give you a solid answer on how the 49ers are going to fix that. But, I mean, it's got to be a mix of – obviously you want good players, but you got to try and keep that group together as much as you can, because continuity for an offensive line might be more important than, like, any other position group in the NFL, because those guys talk back and forth so much, and everything they do is kind of a blend of each other. And right now the 49ers are playing with a third string center, you know, a guard who's starting there for his first year that was formerly on the AAF, you know, and it's just even Trent Williams, who's playing fine, is this his first time on this offensive line. So it's they don't have a lot of chemistry together. And that's kind of like, you know, you got to get better players, but at the same time, you want to make sure they have continuity with each other. It's it goes both ways. It's kind of a, you know. If creating a good offensive line was easy, then everybody would have one. right. 49ers are not done yet. The most important question, mayo or Miracle Whip, and why is it Miracle Whip? What do you think, Croc?
I don't eat either at all.
You don't like mayo?
No.
I like mayo. I don't have a problem with mayo. Oh, okay. When I say I like mayo, it doesn't mean I'll just straight up put a spoon in mayo and like eat it.
But you're eating it on a burger or something, right?
Yeah. I feel like it's solely there to like just kind of give your, it's like it doesn't have a ton of flavor and it just gives you your, whatever you're eating, just a little bit of moisture. You know what I mean? Like if you can super, super taste the mayo, then you're putting too much mayo on there.
I don't know why I don't like mayo. Maybe some kind of something as a child like traumatized me and I just can't, you know, because when you have traumatic experiences, you kind of block those out.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I had a traumatic experience with mayo, but I will not eat it. But the weird thing is I'll eat coleslaw. I'll eat macaroni or
things with like mayo is like a key ingredient.
I'll eat like special sauces from places, you know, when I know it has mayo, but I won't eat straight mayo, like on a sandwich or a burger, like literally. And when I say I won't eat it, like if my wife brings me a burger from Wendy's and it has mayonnaise on it, I just won't eat that. I'll just eat my French fries. And I don't know why. I got some kind of weird block going on. I don't know.
Hey, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. I've never been able to like drink eggnog, which... And I think that's solely because the name is gross sounding. Like, eggnog? Like, why the hell would I want to touch that?
You never had it with the, like, eggnog with the, like, alcohol in it?
I might have had, but, you know, I don't touch it.
See, hey, so Swaggy Germain, man, he gets me. Yeah, no tomato.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. So he doesn't like mayo. And then the McFlails with me, he said mayo is king. I don't think it's king, but I like it. Like, Carl's Jr. spicy chicken sandwich. It's nothing but spicy chicken, tomato, lettuce, and then mayo. And I like it. Like, I don't know. But anyways, with limited cap space, this is from Doug Funny. Oh, I love that show. One of my friends back in the day, he had a chin that was round, like he had no real chin, and then he had a super flat body, so we just called him Doug. He was Doug Funny to us. With very limited cap space, who would you rather re-sign, Crocker, Jason Verrett or Richard Sherman? But you can't have both. That is tough.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Verrett. But it's tough because of everything that Sherman brings from a leadership perspective and everything and like a mentality, a mindset. But I just think in the sense of like what I would ask someone to do, I think Verrett, he's just a little younger, you know, a little more spry, you know, in his ability. But nah, that's really tough. That's really tough.
Yeah, it is. And I think I would go with the same. And because one, I'm a sucker for an underdog story, man. And I want to see Jason Verrett's story continue. You know, I want him to get paid a little bit more. I want him to put together another season. I want him to make the Pro Bowl. You know, I just want to see his story continue. And I'm right there with you with Sherman. I think he's one of the most valuable players on the 49ers team right now, even while he's injured, just because he's such a presence and he's such a leader. But, you know, at some point, things have got to give. And if one has to go, I think I'd keep Verrett just because I want to see that
Someone
story.
In the comments said sign Verrett, convince Sherman to coach, but I don't think Sherman's going to coach.
He's going in the booth.
I would go on TV.
He's going to – and I think just listening to how Sherman talks, I think he'll be great at it. Like, I think he'll be really, really good at it. He's very smart, and he's very instinctual, and he's very – you know, so he'll have insights just like, you know, kind of like Tony Romo has. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully he does do that. Ahmad Otala at Ahmad 80. Congrats on 100. Thanks, bro. Saleh is doing incredible things with what he has, and I believe he'll be a head coach next year. Do you guys think they'll bring in Dan Quinn to replace him? Who else would be in play? Oh, man. I haven't done nearly enough research to know who's in play. But, I mean, Kyle's worked a lot with Dan Quinn. I don't know. It kind of makes sense. I'm not sure, though.
I can see it. That would be weird, right? Because, like, Dan Quinn was the head coach. And they just kind of, you know, a lot. But, I mean, he has a scheme that Kyle likes. Typically, guys, it's hard to know, like, who's going to be a defensive coordinator. A lot of times there are younger guys that were, you know, are a position coach somewhere, and then they turn into a coordinator, kind of like what we saw with Robert Saleh. So if you don't get a guy that's more of a retread like a Dan Quinn, then it'll probably end up being somebody that we've never heard of.
You know what's cool, though, is when the 49ers hired Robert Saleh, people were like totally like, what the hell? Like, who, why is this guy getting the job? And who is he? And he's worked out really well.
Yeah, very well.
You know what I mean? I think it's, and same thing with John Lynch. Everybody was totally on board with Kyle Shanahan. But the same thing with John Lynch. When they hired him, everybody was like, what the hell? And sure, he's made some mistakes, but he's done probably a lot better than people would have thought he did.
I think it was a little weird because of what the 49ers were coming from. And remember, they made the Lynch hire before the Kyle hire, you know. And I think the 49ers were kind of a joke. And you went from Tom Sula and his sweaty, press conference and farting or whatever he did. You go from that to Chip Kelly, and that whole thing was a disaster. And then your first hire is John Lynch. And I think it just kind of came out off like, what? I know that was my reaction. I was like, John Lynch, the football player? Like on TV? I was really confused,
He wasn't a part of their interviews. They had a lot of good candidates lined up. He wasn't a name that had been mentioned. Like, nobody had even heard anything about him. So when it was announced, everybody was like, what the hell? Like, you know, but I mean, things.
Like you said, Saleh was just, you know, as much outside the box, and he's turned out very, very well.
I know. I mean, I think he's proving just as much this year as he had in years past.
Definitely.
Like, the defense is playing at a respectable level despite losing half the freaking starters. So, I mean, I do agree with you, and I think that he's going to be a head coach next year because people are going to look at what he did this season and how that group is still playing, and they're going to have a lot of respect for that.
Like you said, you know, how would you be if somebody was just like, hey, Rob, you want to go play in this game this weekend, but you can't take your six best defensive players. Like, you got to sit all the six best guys and just
replace them
with whoever you can and just go out there and play. And you'd be like, what? How can I do that? But he's done a good job. Even with those circumstances.
And that's what he's done, man. That's what he's done. Jamie at J_Mittom. Is Tack a starter from the get-go, assuming he passes his physical? No. If anything, you know, I think he'll probably start relatively slow and get a few snaps, you know, on like obvious passing situations where all they have to tell him is, hey, go get the quarterback. But no, I don't think he'll be a starter right out the gate. I don't even know if he'll ever be a starter. He'd probably just be a rotational pass rusher on, like, obvious passing downs. You know, it's not like they're paying him huge money. He's not, like – there's no, like, onus for the 49ers to make him a starter.
Right.
He's just a good player that kind of fell into their lap. So we'll see. Sean at SR_707. If the 49ers don't go QB in round one, are there any intriguing mid round options in your opinion that are worth developing? Croc, that'd probably be more your question, bro.
I haven't looked into like mid round guys. I mean, obviously we know the kind of the consensus top five, or six, but outside of that, yeah, I wouldn't know yet.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. I mean, I think most of the guys we've looked at, like Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, those are all still guys that are like probably first round picks at the very latest early second, like kind of like a Derek Carr thing. So, you know, that's what I'm assuming too. I know that they announced it. Wasn't it Kyle Trask is going to be at the Senior Bowl?
Did they say that? I didn't see that. I've been seeing Nagy post, you know, guys, but I haven't seen that yet.
Right. Let me see. I think he's going to be there, which is cool because you always get more visuals on a player. I didn't see it. I didn't see it right off the bat. So I'll – all right. Hey, McFlail, I appreciate you being in here, man. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Thanks for hanging out. My big golden nuggets. Cute. Let Sherman walk, keep him, and move him to safety.
I definitely would play him at safety.
If they can afford it and he will stay and he wants to stay and he doesn't try and wasn't want to get like a bigger contract elsewhere, then I would do everything I can to keep him that doesn't cripple your ability to get other players.
Correct.
You know, like,
I agree.
If you feel good about him, then hell yeah, man. I think Richard Sherman at safety would be pretty cool. He's always been a good tackler and a good hitter, so he's not going to mind.
Really smart. Probably really good in space.
Yeah. Jason Buckland. At Jason Buckland, How did you two end up doing this podcast together? Oh, that was the question we started with, right?
Yeah, so we answered that.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good question, Jason. I appreciate you letting us start off with that. Genu Soris. First, happy 100th episode. Given it's a bye week, who do you guys rank as the top four Niner coaches of all time and the worst four of all time? Oh, man. I'm just going to go with the top. I don't know if I'd be able to do the four worst. I mean,
we'll probably do the four worst. Chip Kelly, Nolan.
Chip Kelly, Jim Tomsula.
Who is the one from Arizona State? Erickson? Right.
I forgot about that. Oh, man. I would have to look.
Dennis Erickson? It was something like that, right?
Right. I can't remember. San Francisco 49ers head coaches. I'm cheating.
It was 2006, I want to say, or somewhere around there.
Dennis Erickson, yep.
Wow.
He had Mike Nolan. He was decent. He was okay. He didn't do great. my four best, though, obviously Bill Walsh is number one. Yeah. Who would be number two? You know who I really like a lot, and even though he didn't stay very long, I really like Steve Mariucci a lot. I don't know.
Mariucci. I can't have him over Seifert, though.
Yeah, I don't know if he were. Yeah, so you got to go Bill Walsh, George Seifert, Jim Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan.
That really would be my order right there. And even with Harbaugh, as weird as he was, man, I mean, three NFC championships and a Super Bowl appearance in 4 years. Like, that's right. That's some elite shit right there.
Well, and he took a roster that was sure it was mostly constructed for him, but everybody else was not getting that out of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? He came in and immediately started right out the get. What were you gonna say?
Remember, they didn't have like a real offseason or something like that, right?
Like, right. No, because the strike was that year. And Alex Smith was like leading practices.
Right.
That's one of the things I liked about Jim Harbaugh is he came in, and even though Alex Smith had been drugged through the mud, Jim Harbaugh was like, nope, this is our guy. We are going to roll with him. And it worked like, dude, it worked out. Now, obviously Alex Smith didn't have like the most amazing year or tenure, but he was solid and they won with him. And it was just cool to see him stick to his guns and actually kind of like prove himself right a little bit. Like, no, he's going to be good. Just watch, you know, and he was a lot better than what we'd seen.
Right.
But that just shows you the power of a decent coach. You know, you get things rolling. He also said, P.S., what's up with all the Alex Smith slander earlier this week from Croc? That wasn't slander. You were just saying. It wasn't slander.
I just had to be real for a second, right?
Right.
Alex Smith, the thought of Alex Smith with the 49ers is much better than what the reality of him was. Even in those in the playoff run, the one playoff run that he led, and I guess the next half year, you could see he's okay, like he's an okay starter, but they leaned heavily on the defense and run game, like they're heavily, like they didn't ask him to do much at all for 90% of those games, and somebody said kind of like Garoppolo last year, it was a lot like Garoppolo where. We're not asking a whole lot of you. At some point, we may need you. Please come through. But you don't have to be that guy. You don't have to be some elite, Peyton Manning throwing the ball all over the place or anything like that. It was just hand the ball off to Gore, throw the ball to Vernon Davis. Throw the ball to Crabtree every once in a while. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't – and then it was like he was terrible on third downs. If they fell behind – It was so bad. Like I remember watching the Thanksgiving game against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep, I remember that vividly.
Went 9 straight wins at that time. They lost the first game of the season, I want to say, to the Cowboys, and then won like 9 straight games and had the Thanksgiving game. And if you look at the score, it was a close game, but that was not how it felt. Like it felt like, golly, like it's just over. And that was the aspect of having Alex Smith at quarterback. He was solid enough to start and do well with that team and that roster, but he wasn't what people think of him as in their head.
Right. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has a bit more of a He's a bit less of a game manager, a bit more of like a gunslinger, a little bit. And where Alex Smith was like the true definition of a game manager. Like, he didn't turn over the football, rarely. He never turned over the football, but they also almost never took big shots. They never really, he never took risks, you know? So that's why, you know, so it goes into that. But I respect Alex Smith. Obviously, I love what he's doing right now. But you were just talking about how, I mean, Alex Smith was a good quarterback. At one time, Colin Kaepernick was taking the league by storm. Nobody had any idea what to do with that guy. You know, he was just dicing people up left and right. So, you know, I'll never forget that run against the Packers where, like, just nobody realized he still had the ball and he just burned everybody for, like, 50 yards.
The rant kind of came from somebody saying that Alex Smith was a more successful quarterback.
Right, yeah. That's where it originated from.
Kaepernick. And I'm like, more successful in what way? Because he didn't achieve more. Like, he didn't.
No, he just stayed in the league longer. And obviously, there's plenty of other things that went into that.
Right. So,
you know, so, but yeah. So, I mean, that's a good, it's a good conversation to have. Obviously, you can say one is better than the other without disrespecting the other. But I do think that Colin Kaepernick accomplished more in a shorter period of time. And then he said, PSS, ham over turkey every day.
I agree.
Easily. Correct. And then we have to at least bring this tweet by Carter up, you know, because he said, does this obvious electric sexual tension between you two ever get in the way of the product? like, I don't know, man. I mean, hey, we vibe well together. That's all we're saying there. Montana. What big money free agent signings are or were the worst in the John Lynch era thus far? I know Malcolm Smith's up there for me. That might be the worst.
So I've seen people like, okay, that first year, the 49ers had so much cap space, and that is the worst.
They had to overpay everybody.
He's the worst. But they were just trying to, can we get guys in that kind of understand what we want to do and try to build our roster off of that? And I don't think it was so much – I think they did want to be obviously competitive, but I don't think they were expecting these guys to just like, we're going to hit the ground running and take the league by storm. It was, we got to get some guys here. People don't really want to come here. We got to overpay some guys, and let's go with some guys that we know, and they can help implement the system of how we want to run it. And that was kind of how I took it off.
Right.
But, yeah, he was the worst. He was the worst signing because he barely played. So it was like, we're trying to do all that, but it's like, damn, you don't even play. You're not even on the field.
Right. And I guess you could say the same thing for D Ford because he's been struggling. Yeah. Quan Alexander played. You know, Quan Alexander played a lot.
He missed a good amount of time, too, though.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean,
8 games last year, and then he missed a bunch of games this year.
He did. I mean, he played, but I kind of want to give that one a little bit of a pass because he had such an impact from like a cultural standpoint, you know, kind of like a leadership, you know, it was obvious why they brought him in. He just wasn't able to stay healthy and that's a risk. You know, they have taken risk on injury guys and it hasn't paid off so far. Okay. Hamish says congrats on the 100th episode. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. He's got two questions. Croc, would you throw some money at J.C. Jackson? He's a restricted free agent, baller, playmaker.
Yes. Now, it's tough. It's tricky because cornerbacks, man, they get paid a lot of money. And somebody like J.C. Jackson, who has 6 interceptions in 10 games right now, he's going to be attracting a lot of teams. And he's coming from a scheme where he's not asked. It's not like the 49ers scheme. And, you know, Patriots play a lot of – they do play some quarters. They also play a lot of two-man. And the 49ers don't do a whole lot of that. But he would – I still strongly believe he would do well in the 49ers scheme. It's just the money aspect of it all.
Right, because if he's a restricted free agent, it's not just going to be money. They're going to have to offer him a contract that the other team's not – excuse me. He's on the Patriots, isn't he?
Yep.
Okay, and he's the one that they were just talking about because they didn't put him in for the Pro Bowl or something?
He's going to be a free agent in the year.
Right. So they, not only would they have to offer him a contract that the Patriots would be unwilling to match, But then once the Patriots don't match him, depending on the tender that they put on his on him as a restricted free agent, the 49ers would also have to give up a draft pick. And they don't have a third-round pick. So I believe that would mean it would be upgraded to a second-round pick. So you're giving up picks and the money to sign him. Like, that's tough to do. You know, that's it's tough for a team in the 49ers position to do. But, I mean, good players are good players. In a perfect world, I think our healthy team is the best in the NFC this year. No team sticks out. Everyone has flaws. Our team plus coaches are next level. If the 49ers were 95% healthy, kind of like they were last year, I think they'd be kicking the shit out of everybody. Like, I think they would be messing people up just as bad as they were messing people up last year. It's just that ain't how it is. I don't know, Croc. Do I seem like too optimistic about what they'd be doing if they were healthy?
Nah, they'd be really good. I mean, they're hanging around in games right now with, you know, in not ideal situations. So,
right. Yeah, I believe. Okay. Last question on my thread, and then we'll go to the ones because I know some people were leaving some on you. We'll go to those after this. What do you, Sec at Skiles Davis Jr., what do you two believe the 49ers do with their secondary next year? Does Sherm move to safety? Does 49ers re-sign Verrett, then draft a cornerback in the third or fourth round? They don't have a third round pick. What about Mosley and Williams? So many questions about the situation. I guess I'll take a stab at it first. If I could get Sherman to play safety for a little bit cheaper, I would do it. But if I'm predicting it, I think Sherman goes. I think they re-sign Jason Verrett. I think they re-sign Kaywan Williams. And is Mosley a restricted free agent?
Restricted.
Yeah, and I would just put whatever tender they wanted on him, you know, because he's a starter. He's taken his lumps, but he's still a competent NFL quarterback. And then, yes, I would also try and draft him within the first, like, two rounds if I could, if it matched up, if the value was right. What do you think, dude?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking along the same lines. I probably would let Tart walk, but I'd be okay with having,
yep,
you know, some combination of Ward, Harris, and Tarvarius Moore as safety. And I kind of, yep, roll with that. You know, add a draft pick, a late guy. Maybe Maiden from Alabama, the guy's a rookie right now, has been developing in a backup type spot. Maybe you bring back Jonathan Cyprian on a veteran league minimum. So, you know, I'd probably go with something along those lines.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. All right, so now we're on the last little set of questions, the one that are on, that are one that's on your little thread. This one's from Tom Ando, big friend of the pod. He was always hitting us up after the pod, laughing at the stuff we say. He asked, would you rather be invisible or be able to fly?
Invisible.
Why?
Because I'm robbing banks and all type of stuff.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say, so I could walk my ass into a bank. And then you'll just see a floating bag of money, and I'm out.
Yep, I'm out.
I think I would honestly choose flying because, I mean, maybe if I were invisible, maybe I'd rob a bank too. But, I mean, it's tough. I don't know if I'd have this.
Being invisible. Or sneaking into a game. I'd sneak into like a.
Right. I mean, you could go to every game you ever wanted to go to. You could go to every Super Bowl. You could go to. You could go stand on the sideline and just.
Right.
You know, you could be anywhere.
Works, but flying, yeah, nah.
I mean, yeah, you wouldn't be invisible, but I mean, you could always just hover above the game and just chill if you could fly. But I just think flying, I think invisible is the most practical for like a successful life. Like the amount of stuff you could get done would be awesome. but flying would just be so cool. Like, you know, everybody wants to fly like Superman and, you know, you could make it to Disneyland. Depends on how fast you could fly. Maybe you could make it to Disneyland in like 10 minutes because you just fly there. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Everything
they're
I said
both cool.
Invisible is like illegal, so you know, flying,
right I'm just like, I want to have fun, this is cool. Croc's like, yeah. I want to get money, I want to break into places. He's like, let's go.
Someone said, hey, my dog, he said we gotta get Croc a better camera. I have my camera's fine, my lighting
camera's good,
my lighting sucks,
and it's probably has a lot to do with upload speed. Like, depending, you know how it always takes your podcast longer to upload than mine when we're done.
Oh yeah, true.
You know, you have to upload your video into the internet, so that could be why. But it's no big deal. We know who's there, and it focuses up every now and then. The real used goat. Did I miss anything about Peter? Yeah, he said Peter and him are on better terms, but he's still suspicious. All right, so we'll keep rolling. Richard McIntosh wants to know, do you think Saleh is gone after this year? We kind of already talked about that, so hopefully you heard all that. If so, is there someone that's currently on the staff that could be promoted? I don't know. I've never really thought about that. Is there anybody that's really doing the damn thing? I mean, I know they think really highly about their linebacker coach. I'm not really sure if he is. Right. Yeah. I mean, he's a former player. He was really good too. I'm not sure if he's like a coordinator candidate though. I don't know.
Usually those front guys like
Chris Kocurek
are linebackers, because linebackers, they understand the coverage behind them and they understand fronts.
It's true.
Secondary guys like myself, we typically don't know the fronts. We just kind of stick to like coverage. So a lot of times you do see like guys that are like linebackers end up being, you know, solid coordinators because they understand how the entire defense works together.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And I know, like, I think D'Amico Ryans is like a pretty sought after coach too. Like, I know that other teams have been after him. So we'll see. I mean, that could be somebody. Rick Powell, at Rick Powell. Hey, Crocker Man, I assume we'll bring back Mosley next year. Do you think we'll also bring back Sherm and Verrett?
If I had to choose between the two, I'd pick Verrett.
Yeah, same. Alex, at Thickless Cage. That's funny. Thickless Cage instead of Nickel. Never mind. Assuming the 49ers won't be top 10 in the draft order, should they trade up to draft a QB, even if it's to sit behind Jimmy Fuhrer, say like what the Chiefs did with Mahomes? My answer is yes, emphatically. Like, I don't think they would keep Jimmy G in that situation, though, because of how much money he's due and how much that would help them keep the team together. But if they do decide to keep him, then yes, I'm still going after –
going after
a quarterback.
Yeah, the thing about Jimmy G is you have to make a decision on him. If going all in on a quarterback in the draft is going to be your thing, then you have to make a decision on Jimmy G before free agency starts. Because
they're going to try and – yeah, right.
You're going to want to use some of that money to build around your young quarterback.
Right, and they might try to trade him if a team is willing to pick up that contract.
He has to agree with that. Did you see that? He has some kind of no trade clause in his contract.
No, I didn't see that. I saw that today.
I think it was Albert Greer that posted it. He has a no trade clause for the 2021 season. So if they are going to trade him, he has to agree with the destination.
Interesting. So Patriots it is.
Right.
Patrick Heilig. At Kurtz 49, are we going to start CJ after the bye to figure out who the best backup for Zach? Yeah, are we going to start CJ after the bye to figure out the best backup for Zach Wilson?
Shoot, man, I'd be looking for another backup too. I mean, I think Mullins is a good backup in short span. Like, if oh man, my ankle hurts, I can't finish this game, and Mullins has to come in, I think you're fine there. But it's when you got to start playing a little bit more than that. It starts getting
we've been seeing it.
I might try to go how the Redskins did with RG3 and then drafting Kirk Cousins in the fourth round, you know, do something like that where, you know, bring in some guys that, you know, maybe should be better than what you've seen over the last 4 years from those two guys.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me personally, I don't really care what they do with CJ Beathard or Nick Mullins because they're not starting material. They are backups at best, so do whatever you want with them. Start whoever you want, just as long as you don't think that there's anything to do with being a starter.
Right.
You know. Matthew Perkins, at Giants fan, 284035. Think there is a chance that the Niners give Josh Johnson a start, who is on the practice squad currently? I don't really think so.
I can't see it happening.
I don't think that would make much sense from a team perspective. Like, hey, we've got Nick Mullins. He's not doing too well. Then we have CJ Beathard. That's who would go in. And then you're promoting Josh Johnson over both of them to start him, even though they know exactly who Josh Johnson is at this point. I don't think so. Croc, this is for you. Total Niners, at Total Niners. What's your favorite restaurant in Stockton?
Damn, I haven't even been going that long, and I already forgot the name of it. But it's a fried food place off of Bianchi over by.
Is it fried Bianchi. Seafood?
Yeah, like they have like catfish and stuff like that. It's over off Bianchi, over near Townhomes.
Oh, Ray's Chicken and Fish?
Yes, yes, yes.
Dude, I am so fucking good at Google. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. So they got chicken and waffles.
And it is on Bianchi, 939 East Bianchi.
Yeah, that's in the hood. So, you know.
Hey, most of the good food usually is. Not that I know anything about the hood, but I spent a lot of time in El Paso, and I've been to the wrong parts of San Jose plenty of times. Yeah. And that was some good food.
Yeah. So, yeah, over there, all Bianchi, right there. It's across from Townhome, so, you know. But, yeah, he has some – that's probably my favorite place to go.
Nice. Man, I'm glad
we were able to come up with that. That place made me pack on some quarantine weight for sure.
Oh, man, me too, bro. Me too. But I blame that on DoorDash. I didn't even have to get out of – I didn't have to get off the couch for my food.
Yeah.
All right, Jason B. and Black Solutions, Mr. Roscoe's. They both asked, do you think they signed Tack to a 2-year deal and talk to us about Tack?
Finish out this year. And then I think, you know, if you like what you see, I think next year you extend him 1 year.
Right. I think they're in a good position with Tack. If he comes out and he's able to get on the field, he's able to play, he's healthy. They could probably get him for relatively cheap for a 1-year deal. But if he hits free agency and signs a 2-year deal with somebody else, then at least that kind of goes into their comp pick formula, I think. So, you know, to me, it could go either way. But I wouldn't sign him to a 2-year deal unless he comes out and just lights it up. Like, hey, I'm home. I have all this California energy. Let's go. And he just gets like 5-6 sacks to close out the season. Then, right. I mean, maybe you're just like, hell yeah, let's go. All right. So, that's it for our questions on Twitter. I mean, we've got a couple chilling in the chat. Do we still have Parnell Motley? And if so, I'd rather have him activated instead of Dante Johnson. Man, 49ers fans hate Dante Johnson.
Yeah, well, Motley is on the practice squad. Now, Dante Johnson, I will say this. Last game, I was watching the Saints game. He was out there quite a bit. It was some kind of
playing injured, too.
Third safety role or whatever this past game. At one point, the 49ers had a ton of DBs on the field. They had obviously the two corners, Verrett and Mosley on the field. But then they had Jamar Taylor, Jimmy Ward, Marcel Harris, who was playing like some type of linebacker position, I think, and Tarvarius Moore. Like and Dante Johnson. Like they had a bunch of defensive backs on the field at different parts of that game, and Dante Johnson was one of them. And you guys didn't notice him. And if you don't notice him, that's a good thing, right?
I
didn't see anyone bring his name up like, oh, man, what the hell is Dante Johnson doing? So, you know, whatever role they had him in, which was – it looked like some type of safety type role. I'd have to go back and look, but I think he was
– Yeah, they were playing like a bunch of different like dime packages and stuff that had like Marcel Harris at linebacker and, you know, like they, it was all over the place. I wish I would have paid more attention to it.
I noticed it late. Like, I would see one on the field, and I wouldn't see Marcel Harris, and then I'd look, and I'd see Dante Johnson, and I was like, damn, man, playing a lot of defensive backs right now.
Yep. All right, man. Well, let's wrap up the podcast. We might stay live for a couple minutes afterwards, but for everybody listening on Striking Gold right now, like I said, we did this whole thing live also on StreamYard, but as always, I appreciate you guys for being on the podcast. I appreciate you guys. Like I said, 100 episodes. This is our 100th episode, and we would not even be to this point if you guys weren't tuning in here and listening and hitting us up on Twitter and just making it super enjoyable and fun and obviously successful. So we appreciate you guys. I can't even put that into words how much I appreciate you guys. So thank you for helping us get to 100 episodes. And like you heard in some of the questions, here's to 100 more of them. Cheers. Appreciate you. But for another night, this is Striking Gold signing out.
Peace.